This is the University Seventh-day Adventist Church in the sunny Orlando, Florida. We are glad that you are listening to our weekly podcast. Our prayer is that you will be blessed and challenged by our message today, and may God lead you in the next step of your growth in Him. Here is our feature sermon.
I'm grateful to be with you today. I don't know, something is happening. I'm coming very frequently to see you.
Of late.
Very frequently. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll continue to manage it, see how things go. I want to thank my wife for that special in song. You know we have four children, right? You know that, right? We have four of them. Yes, I did. And so you met Chaz. Chaz, can you stand? Chaz is my Absalom, very handsome young man. Thank you, son. And you met Sherry. Sherry, stand. Right. Now, Janice and Celia were at Oakwood, have been at Oakwood for some years now. And Janice just graduated. Yes. Janice, can you stand? Janice is the eldest of the tribe, right? And she just finished biomedical science and music. Before she leaves to go do some missionary work, she decided to take a year off before going to med school. Before she leaves to go to do some missionary work, she will join with my wife one of these days when I come to minister to you, and she will bless your heart. Isn't that all right? Yes. She is a member of the group's NAPS, you know NAPS, and so they travel all over the place helping people and blessing. So it's good to be with you today, and I want to talk to you about some salient issues, very important issues. And the issues I want to talk to you about, the topic is entitled Jesus Calling, Jesus Calling. Now, it is important for us to understand that God is a God who cares for His children. Do you understand? When we open Scripture, and particularly today, we will be looking at the book of John. John, unlike several other gospel writers, John spent significant time talking about the love of God. Stay with me. His theology seems to be centered around the notion that God cares for us. He loves us. He wants to have relationship with us. And so John, unlike Mark, who is an action person, John speaks more about God's love. In fact, his colleagues, when they walked with Jesus, called him the disciple that loved Jesus. John, a powerful disciple, one who understood the power of love. No wonder he started out by telling us in a synopsis, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because John not only understood the power of love, but he understands that it is because of God's love why we can find redemption. Stay with me. John, that disciple that loved Jesus, was the one who in John chapter 3 and verse 16 told us that text that we learned in kindergarten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You and I, because of what John has shared with us, understand that it is because of God's love why we can have eternal life. Oh, when I was growing up, I was an Anglican from the Caribbean, Episcopalian, they call him here. But we used to go to the priests and we would say the wrong things. And for a long time, when I used to go to Father Nisbet, I felt that God didn't love me. Because Father Nisbet, from his little boot, would ask, son, did you do that again? And I felt for a moment that there was no love. And that God was just waiting for a moment to destroy me. But on the contrary, when I started reading the scripture and studying theology, I realized that from Genesis onward, listen, in Genesis, Adam had sinned against God. Adam went astray. He and his wife had done something wrong. And there, a loving, gracious God ran after them and he was shouting, Adam, where are you? seeking after, seeking to find us, seeking to restore us, seeking to bring us home. A God who loves us unconditionally. That's what the scripture teaches. So when I used to go to Sunday school, the priest, he was always on my case. I don't know what was his problem, but he was always on my case. And one day he told me, he said, you have to change your ways or you will be burned in hell. He didn't tell me I'll have to change my ways or I won't reach heaven. He could have said that. But he said, if you don't change your ways, you will be ending up right in the pit of hell. And so they scare us into believing in their own theology that God is not a loving God, but the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it matters not who you are, where you have been, what is important is the choice that you make for God. And so when we walk with John from John chapter 1, and we see he begins by telling us the gracious story of creation, in which he tells us of the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus among God's children. He dwelt among us, John tells us. And John continues with the story by telling us the Word became human. And then John's testimony concerning Christ tells us that John bears witness of him and cried, saying, there was he of whom I speak. That is John the Baptist. But as John continues, he tells of Jesus' story of turning water into wine. And so the story continued, and the theme developed in John, where God is teaching us through John that he loves us no matter who you are, no matter whose child you are, no matter how poor you are, I love you, he say. And too often we, because of the bombardment of sin and because of the degradation that we have found ourselves in and because of the choices that we have made as God's children, sometimes we have gone wrong and we believe we are no longer loved, even as our earthly parents sometimes treat us. But you're different. You're dealing with someone who is different. You are dealing with the God of the universe who sits high, looks low, and he knows the very crevices of our hearts, and he cares for us unconditionally. When I met her, they picked her up off of the street in Volusia County, high on drugs. And they said that if she was not helped, she would have died in the street. But the young lady, when she came to the hospital, after all the treatment and she recuperated, she told the physician she needs help. When an individual who is on drugs reaches that point, that's to tell you they've had enough. They know they've had enough. Isn't that correct? So she told the physician she needs help. Oh, the physician called me. He's a big doctor. He should be able to help her. But Dr. Hassan understands, although he's Muslim, he understands the power of prayer. He understands that if we, as God's children, can go to him and talk to him, he hears, he answers, he transforms, he helps, he alleviates, he heals. So he said, Garfield, I want you to help her. Now, I've had dealings with drug people, giving them money and never see them again, and all kinds of things. And so I call Haven Rehab. And when I call Haven, I asked them if there's any space, because the doctor told me she needed to go to rehab. So when I called Haven, they said, no, you won't have any space for 6 months. Well, I invited her to my office for a meeting. And by the time the meeting was over, my head was swollen because she told me she has 10 felony charges. Are you listening to me? And one of them is armed robbery. She went into a dollar store, a Dollar General, in the community. And she went there to rob the cashier so that she can have money for drugs. 10 charges. And so the first meeting, my mind was swollen. I didn't know how I could help this young lady. And so I called my colleague into the office, and we sat with her. The following Monday, she had a case, the first case, felony case. And when we walked through her life, we realized that at a very young age, one morning, she left her baby. She had a child at 18, and she left her baby with a friend. And when, you know, during our interview, we were talking to her, and she was living in Virginia, and she left the baby with the friend, and with that relative, a cousin of hers, sorry. And when she left the baby and went to work, she came back, and she saw an ambulance in front of the house, Bob, and the ambulance stood still. And when she walked up, the cousin told her the baby died. That broke her down. So sometimes when you see people going through difficulty, you can't just judge them. You need to know their story. Because some of you before me today have a story. In fact, all of us have a story. But sometimes we feel our story is better than other people's story. And so we don't understand the necessity to care for people. Got to court the first Monday with her. Luckily, the judge was from Jamaica. Jamaican judge. That's why I can't get on the Jamaican's case, you know. Judge McClellan, he was attentive. And he said, he told the bailiff of the court, there are two gentlemen dressed, you know, I'm always, look good. You go to court, look good. Anywhere you go, you're God's representative. Look good. So at the back of the courtroom, he called the two young men. Pastor Rudy preached here before. Pastor Rudy and I, we came up. And he said, are you with this young lady? Oh, yes, yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor. He said, oh, what's your role? I told the court the story, how broken she was. I told the court that she needs help, and that's why we left our office to come to help. And then the judge said something that I never heard before, Brother Deep. He said, how do you want me to help her? Listen, the night before I prayed and I cried for her, I'm talking about caring, because that's what the good shepherd is about, caring. You know, one of our churches in Antigua, one of the larger churches where the professionals go to, a young lady reported to me that she went to that church for a year and nobody ever invited her to lunch. And that's not just Antigua. As Seventh-day Adventists, we are cliquish people. I know, I'm one. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. So I'm telling you, we have a way of ignoring people. And today, I'm talking to you about a very acute subject, the subject of caring for people. We could have said to that young lady, oh, I have no time. We went to court with her. The judge said, what would you like me to do for her? I said, Your Honor, I want you to give her a chance. I know she has a felony charge today. Before sending her or sentencing her or putting her in jail, why don't we seek to deal with the underlying problem, Brother Heron? And the judge eased back and he told the bailiff, go to the chaplain and ask him for his card. He must probably have been impressed with what I said. And after the judge said that, he said, let me think about it. He retired to his chamber for a few minutes, and then he came back and he said, I'll do what the chaplain says. I'm talking about caring. Because you see, we are coming to an era, in a stage in Earth's history, when we have to begin to care for each other a little more. A little more? A lot more. You have to hold somebody's hand and help that person along. Not talk about the bad things they have done or how negative they are. Or, you know, don't put people aside. Help everybody you can. And so he said, I'm going to put her on, I'm going to allow her to come every week to get a drug test and make sure she's not using drugs. And then he said, if she keeps up with what we decided to do, I will allow the felony charge to be dropped. That's just about three of them that day. Just three of ten. Three of ten. So for 3 weeks she went every day, every week, everything went well. Everything was going well. Everything was beautiful. Lo and behold, one Monday morning she went for the test and it was in her system. She lapsed. And so I started praying again. I said, Lord, what do we do? And the Lord said to go to the judge and tell him everybody makes mistakes. Yeah. And so I got to court. And when I got there and it was my turn to talk, I went up and I told the judge, I said, Your Honor, I came today to let you know that she slipped. She made a mistake. And that as a preacher, I can't condemn her. Because everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the judge sat back in his seat. And then the judge looked at me again and he said, what do you think we should do? I was running the court. It's not because I was running the court, it's because I laid it before God. Are you following me? Stay with me. So he said, what should we do? I said, Your Honor, it's just a few weeks before an opening happens at Haven. Why don't we keep her in safekeeping? Yeah, for her own good. Put her in jail. Isn't that, what would you do? You let her go back home? And then have a bigger problem with 7 more felonies? No. Safekeep. Oh, she cried. We hugged her and tell her goodbye until the time comes. We told her that. 3 weeks later, an opening came, and she went for treatment. She spent 6 months in treatment. And when she came back out, she was a different person. Listen, one of these days I'll bring her here so you can meet her. She's now married. She's now walking and living for Jesus. I'm talking about caring. Caring for people beyond the church door. Caring for people so that you can bring transformation into their lives. That's what the good shepherd is about. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do you know his voice? What's the text saying? Early in the Bible begins by telling us that Adam knew Eve, and it uses a Hebrew word called yada. And in that word, it's a word of intimacy. That word was later found in the book of Job, after Job went through all the condemnation with his wife and his family, and he had lost everything. In that text, Job 38, and Job started complaining to God and saying, what did I do? I haven't done anything. Why am I suffering? God answered. And God said, were you there when I flung the stars in the sky? Were you there when I hung the moon in its place? Were you there? But after each question, God laid down an important point with one word in Hebrew. Were you there when I flung the stars in the sky? His response was to Job was rhetorical, but straightforward and strong. He said, yada. Job, I know. And he came right down and asked Job, do you know why you're going through what I know. Nobody here knows what you're going through. Nobody will necessarily understand what you're going through. But God knows. He's the good shepherd. He cares for you. He listens to your silent prayers and your weeping eyes as you cry your eyes out. Nobody knows. The good shepherd. And so when you come in the presence of the good shepherd, it is crucial for you to understand the value that God places upon us as his children. You didn't hear me. It is crucial for you to understand the value of that God places upon us as his children. Hear what Mrs. White says. It is the gospel of grace, of the grace of God alone, that can uplift the soul. Listen to what she says. Christ came that he might recreate the image of God in man. And whoever turns men away from Christ is turning them away from the source of true development. He is defrauding them of the hope and purpose and glory of life. He is a thief and a robber of that soul. God wants us to care for people. Not giving them, merely giving them a quarterly or a book or a basket of food once a year. God wants you to care for people. One of the things that annoyed me as a child when I was growing up, my mother has always put a big pot on every time she was going to cook. She had a big family too. But there was somebody who would always walk through the door, who used to always walk through the door, and that person would receive a meal. So much so they received meal that some of them never left. And they grew up at our house. But God wants us to take care of the less fortunate. God wants us to reach out to others. What activity do you have as a people and as individuals to care for those who are in need? Do you wait for the church to do a food basket once a year? You may not have the money to do this, but I know that Walmart and Publix and so forth is willing to give things and give to people, but they don't have the avenue. They can't let people come to Walmart and collect food and bread and so on, my brother. They can't. But the church is an avenue. There's a professor from Harvard. He was writing in an article regarding the relevance of the church, and he says that if the church does not meet the needs of the community in which it dwells, it becomes irrelevant. Are you irrelevant? You have an obligation as Christ's representative to reach out and give a care and a concern and a love and a respect to the community in which you live so that your example will shine so bright that men and women will come and ask, tell us about the God you serve. The Good Shepherd. Hear what Mrs. White says. She said something else. Jesus, how well he knows us. Jesus knows us individually. and is touched with the feeling of our own infirmities. He knows us all by name. He knows the very house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his angels to go to a certain street in a certain city to a such and such a house to find one of his sheep. Desire of Ages 479, Mrs. White. Did you hear that? He gives specific instructions sometimes. And Mrs. White in the book Last Day Events highlights that whenever his children and his sheep are going through difficulties, that God will stop the music in heaven, dispatch an angel down from glory to sit with that individual and our family or whoever is going through a difficult time and comfort them. The music stops in heaven for your sake, and you're walking around burdened because you don't pray. Mrs. White says that once the individual has been comforted and the need has been met and that person feels renewed and rejuvenated, the angel taps the person on the shoulder, flies back up into glory and tells God, everything is all right. Brother Heron is doing better now. And the music continues. Oh, you're special. You are God's special sheep. He loves you with an everlasting love. Embrace that love. And as you embrace the love, I want you to remember that you must care for people. Love people. Reach out to individuals. Seek ways to touch lives. There's a great phenomenon taking place right now, my brother. Hear this phenomenon. In the inner cities, Chicago, Brooklyn, you know, Los Angeles, we have Seventh-day Adventist churches. And some of these churches were in the suppressed areas, the ghetto areas. Well, a lot of the families send their children to Oakwood and Andrews, La Sierra, and they educated their children. Some became lawyers, doctors. And the story said that they moved their families when they became professionals. They moved their families away from the inner city to the burbs. You don't know what the burbs are, do you? Yeah. Take them out there. And then the church remains there. So when you go to Chicago, something happens. On Sabbath morning, you see all these fancy Lexuses. Or Lexi. Which was it? Driving in to the church. And when they're driving in, they're coming in looking smooth and fancy, all dressed. They have their services and they drive off back to the burbs. And what happened to the community around them? Nothing. Not touched by their witness. It's all right if you develop. It's okay. But there must be some intense work in the community. Go into the community. You have neighbors right beside you that some of you don't even talk to. God is calling us to go to those homes and touch their lives because they're wondering why you go to church on Saturday. So the obligation we have is to go out, touch these lives, bring transformation and help them. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And many times the shepherd has put it in your heart to tell people about him, but you have not. My sheep know my voice. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will hear when he's talking to you and you will do what he says. You and I have an obligation to our communities, to our workplaces, to our homes, to our neighbors, to touch lives and help others. Naturally, by the work I do, I meet individuals every day, going to their homes. And there's a lady that I met about 2 months ago. She's 104. And was about to have her 105th birthday, Brother Heron, on the 15th. What's today's date? So tomorrow would have been her birthday. And you know, when I meet individuals that age, I always ask them, what's the secret? Don't you do that? Yeah, because I would love to live to 105 too. So Miss Silva, she said to me, Chaplain, it's two things. Eat what God says. That's the first thing she said to me. And she said, love, love, love. Love family, love people, love individuals, love. So what you eat, important, but notice the combination. She said, love, love people. Jesus talks about the good being the good shepherd because Christ's character is love. Therefore, as his ambassadors, we must show love. We must show how much we care for people. They must be able to see from our interaction. An interesting thing happened when Abraham was moving from Ur of the Chaldees. The Bible says in Genesis that Every morning, his herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot, his nephew, because Lot became rich dwelling with Abraham, would get up and they'd have morning worship. And they would worship loud singing, praising God. But the Bible simply says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. So I went and I did some research trying to understand, why is it that the Bible says, just after mentioning that they worship and that they dwell together in love and so forth, why did the Bible mention immediately after an argument between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, the Bible says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. Mrs. White says, because these unbelievers used to watch these children of God every morning as they worship God and used to admire them and say, oh, these people are so different to us. They're special people. And one morning they heard a big argument over there in Abraham's yard. Big argument to the extent that they were talking about separation and so forth. So you know the argument wasn't for 3 minutes, sister. The argument was going on for hours. So these non-Christians heard, these non-believers heard these believers arguing and decided, they're just like us. You have to be careful about your example. What you say, what you do, how you treat others, how you exemplify Christ, who is the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice.
One more time.
Oh, what?
Oh, dear.
Look at them, look at them.
That's amazing. They are coming. Oh my God.
The unit made all the way. Was that cool or what?
Yeah. Isn't that powerful? My sheep hear my voice. There are two things about the shepherd in the East, and I'm closing. Two things. In the West, because we used to have sheep at home, and I used to run behind them. But in the Middle East, the shepherd walks ahead of the sheep. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he calls them. They hear him, they respond, they follow him. You saw it? So Jesus, when he says, my sheep hears my voice, my sheep hear my voice, what Jesus is actually saying is, those who know me will follow me. I'm going to make an appeal. If you are one of Christ's sheep, respond to his call. I'm going to make an appeal. Christ is calling you today, the good shepherd. He knows where you have been, but he is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to come closer to me. Respond to me just as the sheep did with the shepherd. Today, I'm going to make an appeal. First appeal. You have never accepted Christ. And today, you want to respond to him and say, Lord, I want to be that first sheep to respond to your call because you're the good shepherd. Why don't you get up from your seat and come here? I'm going to be praying for you. Don't be afraid. Come. Wherever you are, come. If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior from sin, and today you recognize the importance of following the Good Shepherd, step out from where you are and come. I'm waiting for you. Come now. I'm going to ask the church to bow your heads, close your eyes. Come. Whoever you are, come. Come. Praise God. Come. Anybody else? Today you want to commit yourself to Christ. You want to commit yourself to Christ. you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd saying, come. I invite you to come. Don't look at anybody else. Because Jesus said, he who fails to testify of before men, him will I fail to testify of before my heavenly Father. Why don't you come? I'm just going to be praying for you. Come, come. Anybody else? Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need to commit to Christ. I'm going to pause now. I'm going to make a second appeal. There is somebody here who once walked with Jesus and you went astray. But you know that Good Shepherd is calling you back to the fold of safety. Step out from where you are and join us for prayer. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise God. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And then I'm going to make a third appeal. You may be walking well with Jesus. Who's the church clerk? Who's the church clerk? Who is? Okay, you take note. There is somebody else here. Somebody else, before I make the third call. You know that it's today's your day to commit to Jesus. That shepherd called his sheep. Notice what happened before? Other people were trying to call. And that's what's happening to us. All kinds of people are calling us. So that sometimes we really miss the voice of Jesus. But then when the farmer went out and he started calling, you saw what happened? The sheep, they just walked up straight to him. Somebody else needs to come. Somebody else. Praise God. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else quickly. We're going to be praying. And then I'm going to make a final appeal. Final appeal. There's somebody else. Somebody else here. Praise. Praise God. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else needs to commit to Jesus. Somebody else. Come. 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 Don't be afraid. Nobody here can help you like Jesus can. Come on. Come on. Just come out. We're going to be praying just now. My final appeal. You've been living. You've been walking with Christ. And today you just want to say, Lord, as I reconnect with you, as I recommit myself to you, I want to indicate my decision by standing to my feet right now. Lord, I'm recommitting to you. I'm doing what you asked me to, but I just want to recommit myself to you. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying. Praise God. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying. You're already committed, but you just want to seal this thing and say, Lord, I just want to recommit. Just want to recommit. I just want to refresh this thing. Praise God. Praise God.